2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul exhorting young Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." He exhorted him that in the last days people would not want to listen to the truth, would not endure the truth. And then would they also have with that a desire to listen to other things. And we've heard those things, I've heard those things preached all my life, and heard that there would be a day when people wouldn't want to listen to things. And in my mind, I considered all the churches in error, all of the churches of the world, all of the so-called churches of the world, and all of the error that was preached, and the numerous numbers of people that followed after those things. But and really, that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about in the house of God. And Timothy was a pastor of the Lord's churches. And Paul told him that there would be times when they would not endure. They would not listen to these things, but that they would also, with that, have a desire to hear other things. When my dad was called to preach, it was a great long while before he pastored anywhere. And along with that, we traveled all over the place. Dad preached at a lot of places, and he filled in at a lot of churches, and he candidated at a lot of churches. And it was interesting to me, as I watched that over a period of time and looked at what would happen. Quite often, Dad would preach somewhere, and they loved him, and they loved Mom, and they loved our family, and they would show us the parsonage, and they would show us all they had to offer, and then usually in the evening service, they would start to question my dad, and they would sometimes even question my mom, and ask what things that we believed, and after they found out what we believed, they would usually vote no. And that was normally the end of it. They didn't approve of usually one or two things that my dad taught. They weren't interested in the spirit in which he had with him. They weren't interested in the spirit of the Holy Ghost by which he preached at that time. And in many ways, I look at those years, and I look at those years as years that, though Dad, through those years, he doubted his call to preach many times because for a long period of time he didn't pastor anywhere, and he began to wonder, had he made a mistake? Or it's natural thinking for a preacher to think that way. And but I look at those years as in many ways a years of judging. In many ways, several, at least three churches that rejected a few of the doctrines that my dad stood for. Most of the people that voted against him and against those things soon left anyway. Most of them left. Most of those churches called what I would call borderline preachers. Preachers that somewhat believed the truth, gave a lot of lip service to it, but really didn't stand for anything, had no backbone. And some of those churches fizzled and nearly closed or did close for periods of time. And struggled, continued to call what I would call borderline preachers one after another. And struggle. And that was probably one of the first times I recognized and realized that we were in the times when people would not endure sound doctrine. And notice, but also with that, the people had itchy ears. And I think that's kind of, I think the idea of itchy ears, or that there's something that my ear likes to hear, is a spirit that can flow anywhere. That's a spirit of, that Satan brings about, that he works upon every one of us at times. At times, you know, I'm a person of very deep spiritual need. I have a lot of spiritual needs, and I come into the service very needy. And I sit down, and sometimes I'm guilty of the passage being announced and going, oh, that's not the passage I want to hear from. You know, I know what my needs are, and I don't think that's the passage I need. Well, in a sense, I'm guilty of, at that moment, having itching ears. In other words, there's something I want to hear. And I think that's the very subtle beginnings of, it's the same spirit. It's the subtle beginning of the time when people will not endure sound doctrine. Because along with that fact that they would not endure was they kind of had itching ears. There were things that they wanted to hear, and we're all at times guilty. There's things that sometimes we want to hear, and we're guilty of that. But on the same token, when we begin to think that way, we're guilty of questioning the sovereignty of God. At times I go to a Bible conference and there'll be two or three men on the list, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to those guys. I'm just to be completely honest, is sometimes there's two or three there, and I'm like, I don't know about them. But you know, I have to surrender myself. And I had to deal with this at Christian school. We had chapel every single day at Christian school. Oh, it just drove me crazy. I couldn't hardly listen to another Arminian message. But even that, I look back and the Lord had a purpose in it. As I sat through every Arminian message, I got further and further entrenched in the doctrines of grace. All the while they preached, I thumbed through my Bible and I preached right back at them in my heart. And the Lord worked on me and entrenched me deeply in grace, really from second grade on. The Lord began to work in my heart. And so, though the person themselves were in rebellion to God, they were still in the plan of God. And that's hard to understand. But if we really, really believe the sovereignty of God, then we would have to then conclude that everything that has ever happened has been in His plan. Though many were used that were in rebellion to God, we would see in Romans chapter number 9 concerning Pharaoh. In verse 17, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay to make of the same lump a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God even had a purpose in Pharaoh. Pharaoh was evil, but still Pharaoh was in the sovereign plan of God. And that's hard for us in our flesh at times to consider that. Romans chapter 13, consider it in another light while we're in the book of Romans. You know, sometimes I get frustrated, and I look at, and I've mentioned this before, but I look at churches that called somewhat errant preachers, and they fizzled away, and I look at those situations, and I say, how could that happen? How could God let that happen? And then I have to resign myself that God is always in control, and that whatever He wills and whatever He does, He does. He's never out of control. And it's hard sometimes to look at things that happen, but He's never out of control. Romans 13 is speaking of government, and we could look at government the same way. Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, wherever the higher powers are. Could be your boss. We've had plenty of bad bosses through our lives, you know. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's hard at times. Wherefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. You resist government, you don't pay your taxes, you're resisting God. It's that simple. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's hard to believe. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. Sure seems like the government's coming after us. But it takes some faith to believe that. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You just do good. Don't worry. Don't worry about the government. Don't worry about any power that's in your life. Because ultimately, God keeps score. And it doesn't matter. You just do good, and God will take care of it. Thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. Well, that's really hard to believe. Could Barack Obama be my minister of God for my good? Yep. Yeah, he is. And that's hard to believe. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that, but God has never been out of control. God is not in heaven saying, I wish there were things I could do with the United States, but the people just keep putting in these horrible leaders. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that, but there's these leaders in my way. No, he's in control. Why does God want Obamacare? I don't know. Why has he allowed it? I don't know. I hate the system that we live under. But I've done okay in it. I've done all right. It hasn't really harmed me. It hasn't really, you know, as much as I hate it, there's tons of those people on that system that come and lay down money in my office. I wish it were differently. But God has made it the way it is. Would it be better if I didn't have to give him a bunch of money so he could give it to them so then they could spend it back at my store? I think it would be better because I'm sure it doesn't all get spent at my place. A lot of it gets spent a lot of other places that I don't approve of. But it is what it is. And at times I know that it all has worked intricately together in ways that I don't know, that I don't understand, but to put me where I am. If I were in a different place financially, would I live a different way? Would I have a different address? Possibly. But God has me at the address he wants me at. And he may have used Barack Obama. He may have used Jennifer Granholm and all of them to keep me oppressed into the place that I'm in. Who knows? I don't know. But he is a minister of God to thee for good. That's hard to swallow. The same goes for these churches and the things that go on in our spiritual world. God's not wringing his hands in heaven saying, you know, this is what I'd like to say to the people, but I just can't get it done. I can't. There's always people in the way. No. He can get done what he needs done. And if you study the history of the kings in the Old Testament, you'll see that at times he raised up a king to destroy Israel. Because Israel deserved being destroyed. And that's frustrating. Physically speaking, we would blame the king. The king really was a pawn. He was just placed there to do what God wanted him to do. If God wants our country destroyed, it's for his honor and his glory. And it will work together for good. And the same goes in every part of our lives. You know, I fought the government in Cadillac. I fought the ordinances. I fought the misuse of government power. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the building that I had chose was not the building that God had chose for us to meet in at the end of the day. You fight all you want, and you find that you're fighting God. It's amazing. At times, government can come right along. God can turn all of government to benefit you. God can turn whatever it may be. God is in control. You know, when we look at... We can see the sovereignty of God in the life of Jonah. You know, when we look at Jonah, Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to preach. The Lord took a hold of Jonah and said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go there and you're going to preach. And Jonah fought it, and God is able to move heaven and earth, animals of the sea, whatever it may be. He's in control. He's able to get his work done. But sometimes it's hard for us to accept that. And we begin to doubt the sovereignty of God. Maybe not verbally. Maybe we don't realize that we do it. But when we begin to question these things, we question, in a way, in a sense, the sovereignty of God. And when we fight against these things, in a way, though we don't realize it because we're fighting the middleman, because we're fighting the messenger, we don't realize that we're fighting God. And we don't say these things to not vote. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to vote. We have responsibility and obligation to do things that are right and to let our voice be heard. But at the end of the day, God's plan still moves forward. God has never been in heaven wringing his hands saying, I can't get done what I need to get done. It's never been. It's never been that way in the Lord's churches. It's never been that way in government. It's never been that way in your life. God, he is able. So getting back, just to summarize in our text, in 2 Timothy, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap after their own selves, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will begin to want to decide what they hear, and that's a scary thing. And I hear of it all over the place. There's problems in churches. I hear of, seems like, a new pastor all the time having struggles. I hear of it all the time. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, if we were to take Nineveh as a case study and look at this one message in the life of Jonah, take Nineveh as a case study. Nineveh was a bloody, bloody, violent, vile city. You could make a list of mile long of perhaps things that maybe Jonah should preach on. And God just sent Jonah to preach repentance. He said, yet 30 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That was the message. Jonah didn't want to preach it. He didn't really have a choice because God is sovereign. And if need be, God will take the man down to the belly of the whale or whatever needs to be done in order for him to do what the Lord needs him to do. And Jonah went and he preached the message that God would have him to preach. It was just a simple message of repentance. There was, you know, it was, he didn't go into their details of their lives. It was just a message of repentance. But we see in these last days, as we read there in 2 Timothy 4, that people will want to shape the message. They'll want to pick a preacher. They'll want to... a lot of things go on. They're going on in our churches today, and I started recognizing it years ago when my dad was preaching. And it's a sad thing. It's a spirit that's in the house of God, and it terrifies me. I see it in many, many places, in many, many churches, and it's just a sign of the last days. It's a sign of being near the end. And as I mentioned, we have to guard ourselves against that idea. Any spirit, any time we think something, we begin to look at something and become a judge of something, is dangerous. And I'm guilty of it, again, in light of government. I'm guilty of saying, I just can't see how that can be right. And yet, God is in control. We're guilty of these things at times. I'm guilty of them. I look at other churches and I think, how can that be? How can that happen? And then I just have to say, you know, the Lord's in control. He's got some kind of reason. I don't know what it is. Beyond me, it's outside of me. Some of the things that I see going on, and I just have to stop myself and say, you know what, Lord, you're in control. I don't know what your reason is. I can't figure it out. I can't know it. I know that someday I'll know it. I know in the life of Israel, many times it was to punish Israel. Many times, unfortunately, it was to punish Israel. But yet through that, God kept a remnant of people. He was still able to do his work. He was still able to bless his sheep. He was still able to do all that he needed to do. You know, Isaiah got discouraged and he just felt like, or not Isaiah, Elijah got discouraged and he said, I think I'm the only one in Israel that wants to serve the Lord. The Lord said, no, I've got 1,000 over here that haven't done anything wrong. So through the midst of wicked kings and all of that, God is still able to do everything that he needs to get done. So as we approach this November season, or as we look around at the things that are happening in churches around us, know that he is in control. He's never been out of control. Everything that has happened, yes, churches have called men they shouldn't have called. Yes, churches have done have gone out of existence. But somehow that's all a part of God's sovereign will. It's all part of his plan. And it's difficult at times. Just if we just look at the history in the Flint area, 6, 7, 8 churches. Flint used to be filled with landmark churches. So many things that have gone on. But the Lord is in control. He's always been in control. It's never a time that he's just, oh, what do I do? Oh, I wish I could do this, but the people did this. No, he's always done exactly what has pleased him. So we'll stop there.